Welcome to Lesson 11, the Creative Freedom Business Model. I promised you that we would unpack this equation in full today. You've seen it a few times now, and you've even taken a few steps to get clarity in the first part. Now you're going to learn how it all fits together so that you can start playing with the elements and find a model that works for you. This is one of the most popular visual maps for building a business model. But as I worked with it, two things became clear. First, it is not intuitive or easy to navigate. Most people read left to right, but this thing has you hopping all over the place. Secondly, the nomenclature is so businessy that most creatives shut down when you start talking about business models. I needed to develop an easy to approach, easy to understand, and easy to implement tool that any creative could use no matter where they fell on the spectrum. So I've basically translated this into this. It's simple, easy to understand, and provides just enough structure that chaotics have plenty of freedom without feeling penned in. It's also detailed enough that linears can get as granular as they want to without breaking the formula. But the big reason this approach works so well is that it's not designed for big corporations. It's designed for smaller, more agile micro businesses where the founder owner still has a hand in the direction of the company, which is why we start this equation with you. There are two interesting things to note. The first part of the equation is in parentheses. That represents the internal elements of the business that have great impact, but may not always be readily visible to the public. The second part of the equation reflects the externals, the tangible, visible things that people outside the company can see. It also reads from left to right. Every time, no exceptions. You don't get to start in the middle. Starting in the middle will create big issues in your business for you or your clients or both. Nope, you have to start with you. Remember the I matter paradigm? You have to start with you. As I mentioned previously, we've already exposed quite a bit about who you are and why you do what you do. Those are the first two elements of this formula. These are also two elements that are unlikely to change much over the life of your business. They are the anchor of your company. Unless you decide to sell your business, it will very much have your fingerprint on it, so it needs to operate in a way that's in alignment with your values and beliefs. And often, people working in your company can't know what that is if you haven't articulated those values and beliefs to them. They may have an idea of who you are and what you stand for, but unless you've got a guiding vision and mission statement and you've done the work to share your company values and beliefs with your team, they're only guessing. Maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but it's up to you as the business owner to give your people, including your audience, clarity. That's why we've already done so much work on who you are and why you do what you do. We will keep circling back to that in future lessons, so don't think you're going to slink out of doing those exercises. They are critical to the health and success of your company. Linears, I'm talking to you. Chaotics have done this already because this part's easy for them. Fusions have probably done it two or three times, trying to make sure they've got the right answers. Oh, how we love to be right. Linears are the most likely to bail on this, and I'm telling you, it's just as important as knowing your numbers. If we're building a company that's in alignment and in integrity with what's important to us, we stay the course, even when things get challenging. Plus, as I said, it's an anchor, so it builds trust for our audience. They know what we stand for. Your audience is the next piece of the puzzle, the who piece. Who are you serving? I get that your offers may attract a wide swath of people. It's easy to believe that your products are perfect for everyone, but that's simply not true. There's an audience of folks who are far more attuned to your way of thinking, your values, your beliefs than others. People outside that ideal audience may buy from you, especially if you're the only game in town, but it's harder to intentionally attract those folks. It's like shouting ice cream on a hot summer day. Lots of people will come, but the people who truly like your ice cream will come back on other days too, and you won't have to shout. Knowing who this core audience is can mean the difference between survival and crisis. Business is cyclical and economic downturns happen every 10 to 20 years. When you nurture your relationships with your core audience, you have a buffer of loyal customers that stay with you, and it's far less costly to keep client than it is to attract new ones. When resources are limited, you have to be selective about how you use them. Instead of doing blanket promotions to anyone with a pulse, double down on your best audience. The who element of this equation is that audience. They know you, like you, trust you, and want to keep connected with you and buying from you. You may have different audiences or subsets of your larger audience for different offers. That's fine, great, even so long as you're clear on that, but don't use that as an excuse to avoid getting audience clarity. Once you know who you're serving, then you can get offer clarity. Here's the thing though, your offer is actually made up of the last two elements combined, the what and the how. Here's an example. I host an annual planning workshop. That's the what, but how it's delivered can vary. I do it live in person over 3 days at the Creative Freedom Retreat. I do it live online inside A Club, and I offer it on demand digitally to anyone who wants to pay for access to the videos and downloadables. I've also offered it as a live one-on-one private coaching session online. Same what, different how. So your what is the thing you're offering. The how is the mode of delivery, what I'm getting and how I'm getting it. Let's look more closely at the what or your offer. An offer, the what, is made up of two components, what you're willing to provide and what you're accepting in return. Simply, it's the thing you've got for sale and the price people will pay for it. It's also more complicated than that because the price isn't always cash money. Sometimes they pay you in feedback or referrals. Sometimes they pay someone else, like when they make a donation to a cause you care about and then you give them your thing. Your price may change depending on how you deliver it too. A live one-on-one planning session is more expensive than an in-person retreat where I can work with multiple people at the same time. And a retreat is more expensive than posting my content online and letting people access it digitally without any input from me. Because my costs are different for delivery, the how, my what is impacted. But I still decide the what before I actually have to deliver on the how, which is why the how is the last element in the equation. So now let's shift our attention to how. There are two different pieces here that you can mix and match to create different modes of delivery. The platform and the delivery system. In the case of a national fast food chain, the platform is their network of stores. The delivery system is personal. They literally hand you your food at the counter after you pay for your order. Other national chains may have the same platform, a chain of stores, but then their delivery system is having a driver deliver the food to your home or to your table if it's a fine dine-in restaurant. Same kind of platform, different delivery systems. In my book, I wrote about how Uber Eats is both a platform and a delivery system. It's a platform for the restaurant because it's a network of drivers who bring food to your door. Bringing the food to your door is the delivery system, quite literally, but it's a system for Uber Eats and a platform for the restaurant. Platform is where you go to get the thing. Delivery system is the way you get it. Aggregate sites like eBay, Amazon, Etsy, Creative Live, Uber Eats, and even wholesalers are often both a platform and a delivery system. So if we look at this visually, you'll see that while you may have many offers, many whats at different prices, and even a few hows for each offer, the first part of the equation stays pretty much the same. You and why you do what you do doesn't change just because the offer and the delivery are different. And here's the fun part. Once you figure this out for one audience, one who, you can duplicate this across multiple audiences. For example, I have an offer called Direct Sales Classroom, and for years, I primarily worked with direct sellers. They were my who. But over time, I found myself attracting a larger audience of creatives, so I shifted my business model to work with them. What I stand for and the ways I prefer to operate haven't changed a lot over the 25 plus years that I've been in the online world, but my audience has, my offers have, and the way I deliver those offers has changed. When I first started, teleclasses were the thing, and now it's webinars and live streams, and who knows what it'll be tomorrow. As I record this, on-demand programming, like the apprenticeship, has increased in demand, and fewer folks are attending even webinars and live streams in favor of consuming content when they want it, where they want it. That doesn't mean other delivery models don't work. They do, and can be very profitable. But things like live events require a lot more audience loyalty to make them so. That's another reason why knowing and nurturing your core audience is so important. So your assignment is to start playing with these elements and begin to flesh out your own preliminary business model. Print out the business model worksheet and list a few of your current offers or things you want to offer. How are you going to deliver them? And who are you delivering them to? It may sound like I'm asking you to start in the middle here, but I'm not, because you've already done the you plus why work and a little of the who. If you already have clients and customers, look at them to find the common aspects of who they are as it relates to your business. If you were a client or a celebrity, what celebrity best matches the kind of customer that you work with or want to work with? Begin to flesh out a preliminary business model that gives you a guide as to who you're serving, what you have to offer, and how you're going to deliver it. If you're feeling stuck on pricing, I've got you covered. Our next marketing lesson digs into pricing and positioning yourself in alignment with your business model. That's right. We're diving into brand clarity. I will see you there.